It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Hello, Sam and Swiggies. Welcome to episode 040. This is episode 40. Hi, Sam.
Hi, I'm dancing. I've never danced on this podcast before, but today feels like a dancing kind of day.
This is a good dancing day. It's almost like you're doing a bit of a, like, touchdown celebration dance, Sam.
Oh, boy. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
I cannot wait any longer. We were supposed to record this on Friday, and I texted Sam this week, and I said, Sam, are we going to have to wait all the way until Friday in order to discuss Tavis? Is that what we're calling them?
I think Tavis works.
Swiftsy?
Kelsey?
Tailsy?
Traveler actually works.
I like that one. Okay, if you do not know what we're talking about, Swiggies, I mean, you must be out in the woods. Like, you need to get out of the woods.
It's funny because I obviously, if you're listening to this, if you're a fan of Taylor Swift, you know what's going on in the the realm of Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. But even if you don't like Taylor Swift, you know what's going on in the realm of Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. I'm getting their names mixed up. Taylor Kelce, Travis Swift. Maybe we're going to get that down the line. Okay, let's preface this discussion. So I've always sort of felt awkward discussing Taylor Swift's dating life because in past interviews, she's definitely expressed that her frustration with how much the media covers her dating life. I think this time, however, is different. I think Taylor is very much okay with being in the media's eyes right now. I don't think she would have attended a nationwide broadcasted football game if she wasn't okay with us discussing this conversation, this situationship that she's in.
This is a situationship. And really, that's all it is. This is not a relationship that we're discussing today, Sam. Unless we're talking about the relationship between Taylor Swift and the NFL, and then that is an interesting situationship.
Yes.
I want to know. Yes. So in case, just a quick update is that Taylor Swift attended the Kansas City Chiefs game on Sunday. She was in the box. Is that what we call it?
The club seats
with Mrs. Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time that Travis Kelce and Taylor have been kind of in the rumor mill, because Travis Kelce went to Taylor Swift's concert in Kansas City, and he has a podcast himself with his brother. Adorable.
Wow. I love that we were their inspiration for that.
I know. We really were their inspiration. So he's got a podcast with his brother, and he told his brother that he made a friendship bracelet with his phone number on it because he wanted to shoot his shot, as they say, and give it to her, and he didn't get a chance, and he was really bummed. And so somehow this, like, got out into the ether. Somehow.
It's a podcast, so it was out in the ether, right?
Right. Uh-huh. And Taylor got word of it. He invited Taylor to come to his show and sit in the box to watch his show.
Yeah.
And she did.
But prior to all of that, there were just rumors that they were entertaining the idea of flirtatiously seeing each other, but there was no, like, public sightings of them. It all kind of just seemed like an internet meme that Travis Kelce had a crush on Taylor Swift, and maybe she, I mean, there was no comment on her part on that. But then, literally game day this last Sunday, she's there, and she's wearing a Chiefs jersey, and she's hanging out with Travis Kelce's mom. So, you know.
She looked adorable. Way cuter than I. Did you notice I'm sporting my red and gold today? Just for this conversation.
I see. Okay, so we call it a situationship. My question is, do you ship Tavis Traveler? Do you ship this? Do you support? Do you love this? Do you hate this? What are your feelings on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift being a partnership? A situationship.
So, my feelings have evolved as this, like, grew. Like, at first, I was like, really? Ew. Like, a football player.
Why is that ooh to you? Like, what about a football player is ooh to you?
Is
it like the jock mentality?
Yeah, okay. Like the jock idea. Okay. Uh-huh. But I realized I was influenced by Mike, my husband Mike. He has a big problem with this situationship.
Oh.
And I actually have, like, narrowed it down. I think he's just kind of annoyed and jealous that, like, the popular girl is getting the popular jock. Like, he's just, like, really upset with that. And also, he cannot escape it. Like, literally minutes before we got on this podcast, he forwarded me, and I haven't read it yet, but, like, he's telling me, like, NPR was talking about it.
Everybody is talking about
this. Yes. He, like, reads this guy who talks about, like, racial injustice and whatever, and so he, like, forwarded me this email he just got about somebody talking about the name of the Chiefs as in regards to, like, the Native community and, like, but referencing the Taylor Swift debacle thing. Like, he's like, I cannot escape it.
It is everywhere. And, I mean, it's all over NFL. It's all over ESPN. Yeah. They're barely talking about sports. They're mainly focusing on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
I know. It's delightful. So
absolutely. Yes, go ahead.
I really am obsessed with, like, the whole Barbie concept of this whole thing. That, like people have joked around about, like, how cute it is that the NFL stadiums are becoming casas, like, from the Barbie movie. That, like,
dojo casa houses?
Yeah, like, they were Barbie dream houses all summer long, and then now, like, these football guys are coming in to pretend to be tough.
Okay.
And I actually love this idea that the internet is like that Taylor could soften a world like the NFL, which is just made of nothing but macho and terrible decisions, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm charmed by that. I think this is just what you said, that they're like, Taylor's like, this is fun.
Yes. Yeah.
However, I have a couple other theories.
Okay.
One of which came from Mike because he was listening to Nina Princiotti, who is very familiar with the NFL but also is a major Swiftie. She was speaking on NPR, and she kind of talked about this whole, like, way that the NFL is kind of latching on to Taylor Swift, like, their profile on their, like, Instagram changed to her.
Yes.
And it said NFL parentheses Taylor's version.
Yeah. Their TikTok account says Taylor was here bio. Like, Taylor has literally taken over the NFL social media accounts.
And Mike is wondering if, like, the fact that she was playing in NFL stadiums, if, like, she has a deal with them, if, like, this was just part of the package all along. They were like, we need you to show up at the end of the Eras Tour at one of the games, and we're going to pick a dude, and he's going to have a crush on you.
I don't love that theory, because that feels a little non-consensual for them to, like, just pick a dude and make her pretend to date him.
No, but, like, like, I think that they threw it out there and she was like, okay, but I'm gonna be in control of this situation, maybe.
How she would.
I don't know. I just have this, like, fun theory that, like, she's, this all is, like, part of her mastermind or in some crazy weird world that she wasn't expecting. And she's just rolling with the joy of it all. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, I've never tried the football. That could be fun.
The football? And... I've never tried yes. the football. So my question yeah. is, like, how into football is Taylor? We assume she's a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but does she really watch football? Like, did she know what was happening when she was watching the game?
I mean, does she have time? She seemed like she did. She was absolutely adorable with his mom. Like, that's just, like, so cute. I was just so charmed.
She was very adorable on Sunday all around, as she always is. But, yeah, I mean, there's some interesting theories,
You asked me if I was shipping this.
Yes.
I'm shipping this. Okay. I'm shipping, like, what the heck, Taylor? Just give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shipping have fun. I'm shipping maybe you've tried too many London boys and they're all a little bit too moody and, like, into themselves. No.
Well.
This guy is probably very much into himself.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe give it an all-American boy a whirl. I don't know.
I'm fully supportive of her just, like, having fun. I think 1989 or, like, 2012 Taylor was very conscientious about who she dated because it was going to be blown up all over media. But I think she's at the point in her career and her reputation where she feels like she can just do whatever she wants and she's not going to care about what the internet says about it. She's going to have some fun and, yeah, try something new. And maybe this is a new thing for Travis and Taylor. Maybe it's a real thing. Maybe it's publicity. Maybe it's just for fun. Like, either way, have fun. I'm just like glad she can let loose. I don't know if is she letting loose with this? Is this considered letting loose? I guess my point is she's not touring at the moment. She's worked so hard during the Eras tour. This is her time to just kind of like have fun, like she did at the VMAs last week, and now she's all over the NFL and the internet with this whole situationship. So, yeah, do what you want. I think I fully support it. I'm just glad it's not Maddie Healy.
right. I think we're all just like grateful, and that's why this like guy is actually coming out a little bit rosier than we might have originally.
Travis Kelce, I did a little bit of back research. He doesn't seem like the best man in the world. Did you know he had a dating show in 2016 called Catching Kelce? And it was like The Bachelor, but he was The Bachelor, and it was on E, so it was just like ridiculous drama with these girls who seem so ditzy, but he also seems really ditzy, so I don't know. His history.
That's what
is a little
Mike said.
Iffy.
Like, he just like feels like there's so many better NFL players that are more articulate or something. And I was like, dude, let's just not worry about articulation. Like, this guy looks like fun. Like, exactly. I was like, I kind of like the trope that she's going to make him better. I don't know. Why not that?
Well, Taylor, you make us all better. So why not go for making Travis Kelce better, too? I wonder about all the, like, because, you know, there's Swiftie haters, gosh. And they're probably watching the NFL, gosh. They're probably super nerdy and passionate about their sport. God forbid we be nerdy and passionate about Taylor Swift.
Right, exactly.
And they're probably just rolling their eyes at this, but I just love that for the haters.
That's my new favorite thing to watch is like the women being like, oh my gosh, honey, guess what? There's this guy that plays for football and Taylor's gonna like totally make him a star. And he's like, what? And he's like, his name is Travis Kelce. And like Taylor is putting him on the map. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? No, like he was already a star. Taylor didn't do that. They're like getting so territorial. And it's just the best. It just like brings me so much joy.
I did see that Travis has gained 500,000 followers in the last 4 days.
Yeah, they said his jersey was up 400%. Jersey purchases was like up 400%. Can you even? Okay, so Taylor's onto some new shit, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should get onto our new shit?
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit. I'm going to go first, Rachel.
Go for it.
I went to a concert last night. And
you did?
It was a very special musical experience. It was Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service, which, if you're not familiar, Death Cab for Cutie's frontman is Ben Gibbard. His side project was the Postal Service. Now, this is all in 2003, so they're going on tour for our 20th anniversary of when Death Cab released their album Transatlanticism, which is one of my all-time favorite albums, and when the Postal Service, his side project, put out their one and only album called Give Up. And it was iconic for the millennials of our time and back in 2003. One of my favorite two albums. They performed those live, back to back. And Death Cab for Cutie has always, I consider to be one of my all-time favorite bands. I was deeply obsessed in high school. But my new shit is technically going to be the Postal Service, because I had more fun with the Postal Service as part of the concert than I did with the Death Cab concert. It was again, it's the same concert, but they like just kind of switched like sets, essentially, because Death Cab has its own vibe and music quality, and then they ended and they switched to the Postal Service.
Would you say the music is different? Like, is it a different vibe?
Yeah. Death Cab, the album Transatlanticism is moody and a little bit emo. The Postal Service's album is dancey and computer produced and super upbeat, and it was sort of revolutionary in 2003 to have music that sounded like this. And so this week it's an example of shit that's old but I'm coming back to. So I am choosing the Postal Service. And I had just the blast last night at the concert.
I am thinking it's a sign that the freckles in our eyes are...
Yeah, Postal Service, I guess. It was fantastic. All right, what you got?
My turn for some new shit. Sam, this was a big week for me and, like, actual new shit. Like, I just had a flood of new music, and I don't know if I'm just, like, ready. I'm just, like, in a new listening era.
That's
so
fun.
I was having a really hard time figuring out what to share with you. So, partially cheating, this was part of the big reason why I was stumbling upon a bunch of new shit, is I was away on a weekend creative artist retreat this weekend. I was hanging out with some good friends from Minnesota, and it was up in the Northwoods in the Boundary Waters.
Oh, love that.
It was pretty epic and very hippy-dippy and very female-centric. And on our way home, we were listening to some music and doing my new favorite game, which is when you're in a group of people, you create a playlist together, and you kind of, like, take turns adding to the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had just experienced this, like, kind of women's centric experience, we called this Chakras Open playlist.
Okay.
Because we had our energy healed and we were joking around about our chakras being wide open. And also, this had to be like an all female, kind of a powery, like, just into your feelings and your chakras kind of music.
Oh, I'm assuming, like, Taylor made some appearances on this playlist.
I had to add a couple Taylors, but I was really, like, selective because it was coming out. We were coming out of the woods. I think you can imagine what song I might have thrown in there. We were on the edge of a lake, a bunch of lakes in the Boundary Waters.
Okay,
I'm guessing
okay.
You can imagine another song that I put in there. So I was a little bit more, like, selective about what I added. And most importantly, I was learning a bunch of new songs from my friends, which was such a blast.
Yes.
I'm just going to hit on one today. Her name is Ray. R-A-Y-E is her artist name. She has written music for Beyonce and Rihanna, but she's also done some projects of her own. She has a new album that came out this year. And there's a song called Worth It that I was really digging. When I listened to this, I was immediately thrown back to my Alicia Keys days.
Didn't know you had any Alicia Keys days.
I had a big moment for The Diary. Was that the name of the album? I was obsessed with that entire album. I'd play it start to finish. It was like a wonderful album. But this has like some of that, like that really great kind of soulful vibes with like a upbeat pop. So Worth It is the song. That's my new shit for this week. Maybe would you, could you make it all right? Or maybe that much better. If you wanted, you could make it all worth it, worth it, worth it, worth it. Ooh. When I see the sunrise of you. But I'm also going to, in these glorious show notes I work on so well, I'm going to throw in the link to the Chakra Open playlist, and you can just kind of see like what it's, it kind of goes all over the place. A little bit of Lilith Fair vibes, a little bit of, you know.
Wow. Is this on Spotify or something of the sort?
Spotify. This is a Spotify playlist.
Yum. All right. Yeah. I didn't mean to say yum. I was like excited for that, but I said yum. Okay.
It's funny you should say that, because that's how I describe our next song.
You would describe this song as yummy? It's indulgent, I guess.
The one word I used for describing the musical sound of this next song was delicious.
Oh, okay. I guess let's just get right into it then, Rachel.
I think let's get into it. Sam, you chose our song of the week, our swig of the Swift of the week. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. I did indeed.
Let us tell the Swiggies what we're talking about today.
It's episode 40. I chose this song because I just like it, and I think it would be, I thought it would be fun to like kind of have fun and sort of analyze it. But what I didn't realize when I chose it, and now I do realize, is it was hard for me to pair a cocktail to this song. And there's actually some really difficult lyrical analysis in the song too, so I'm glad I chose it. It definitely kind of pushed the boundaries for me. It was a bit challenging. The song is Glitch. I think there's been a glitch. 5 seconds later, I'm fastening myself to you with a stitch. And I'm not even sorry.
I think it's been a glitch.
We always do like our inserted vocals after we announce the song. I think we cannot do that. I was going for the ooh, ooh, ooh part, and you were going for the different part. Okay, so anyways, the song is Glitch. Why don't you lead us off with the cocktails, Rachel?
I've been smelling my cocktails as we've been sitting here because there is a delicious aroma that is very surprising. And so we're going to get into the spirit of this song, but the spirit of my cocktail is similar to that. This is a cocktail that sounds like it would not be a great idea, and then you take one sip, and then you're just like realizing there are some glorious happenings of happenstance in this cocktail. Okay? And it's becoming like there must be a glitch because this should not work, and it is. All right? So I have a Caprese cocktail.
That is a beautiful presentation of a cocktail.
Caprese cocktail. Okay. Now, I forgot that sometime a while ago I had a cocktail like this, and I haven't been able to recreate it until this moment. I'm really excited. We start off this cocktail making some tomato water, which is so easy. You blend up a tomato, like a good chunk of a tomato, blend it up, strain it through a coffee filter and a colander, and you have just, you're left with this like mostly clear tomato flavored water.
So it's not juice. It's not tomato juice. It's like...
Nope. It's mostly clear, which is why you could see this cocktail is primarily clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And I was really trying to be intentional about that. So you got your clear tomato water. You make a basil simple syrup.
Oh, yum. Okay.
Delicious.
Uh-huh.
Then you use a little bit of white balsamic vinegar, which is going to be your sour. If you can't tell, I'm making like a sour. And we're using gin as our base. You get that like herbal, botanical nature of gin.
Sure.
So we've got our tomato, we got our basil. What else do we have in our caprese? We've got some fresh mozzarella. Okay, how's that coming in here? You can use the juice
what?
In the fresh mozzarella, like, bucket.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the bucket of cheese.
You use it, like, just a half ounce. I think the way you might use, like, affogato, like the chickpea water, instead of egg white in a cocktail.
Oh.
So, okay. So then you put that in.
Can I just correct you? Because affogato is the name of espresso over gelato.
Okay, yeah, what is it called?
I don't know what it's called, but I just had to say something on that.
It's wrong, but I don't know how to correct it. Should I look it up?
Such a man thing to do. You're wrong, yes. But I don't know the answer.
I'm not going to give you a better answer. You're going to have to learn it yourself. Okay, I have to look this
up. What Rachel is referencing is the chemical reaction that happens by frothing a cocktail, usually done with egg white, but certain substitutes like chickpea.
Okay, I got it.
Uh-huh.
It's aquafaba.
Okay. Aquafaba is actually a fantastic word. Don't
Isn't
ever
that
forget
a great
that.
Great word.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Aquafaba. So I don't know what you call the mozzarella juice. Aqua cheesa?
Let's just not call it mozzarella juice ever again. Create a different name for it now.
Whatever. Mozz juice. I'm going with it.
Okay.
We shake it up. You shake it up. Strain it. Then I forgot. Little bit of salt. Just like a...
Where are we going with this cocktail?
A pinch of salt. Yes, I know. It's delightful. Then you do a couple, just a few drops of olive oil on the top.
What is happening right now?
And a few drops of balsamic syrup. Like the, when you cook down
like
balsamic vinegar.
Okay.
Balsamic reduction.
See, this sounds like right up my alley, but I am so used to people being disgusted by the type of like flavors I like in a cocktail, like that time you guys made fun of me for putting dill and yogurt in a cocktail.
Yes.
I'm getting that vibe from this.
I think you would love this.
Is how do you connect this to the song Glitch, Rachel?
Because this is a cocktail that shouldn't work. All those things, all those ingredients together should not work. Mm-hmm. You take a sip of that and you're like, I think there's been a glitch because I need to get into this. Like,
I feel there's
some glorious happenings of happenstance, and I cannot explain it otherwise, other than it's just glorious happenings of happenstance.
Oh, okay. I love that for you. Cheers. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Is it so
delicious that, like, you want to drink so many, and then you get love blacked out?
Yes, I think you could. I really think you could if you weren't careful.
All right. Well, what do you call it, by the way?
The glorious happenings of happenstance.
That is what you're calling it. Okay. Beautiful. That is lovely. And I feel like you have elevated the cocktail, the swigging part of this podcast episode today. You're sort of making up for mine because...
Are you just going to like skip right over yours and be like, that's fine,
yours is good. Definitely not going to skip over it. But
okay, good, good.
Here's what I made, Rachel. I made a drink called the Snitch. Because it sort of rhymes with glitch and stitch. This is a famous cocktail at my bar. We call it the Snitch. Now, here's how I'm going to connect it in a way. And here's how I'm going to do that. The Snitch is a whiskey sour with bourbon, egg white, lemon juice, and lavender syrup. And a little bit of orange bitters spritzed on top of that. The bourbon is a 6-year bourbon, or should I say, a 2,190-day aged bourbon.
Yes, you shall.
I shall. And now, the when you look at a egg white whiskey sour, you do see the separation of foam on top. And that is sort of how I'm going to connect it to Glitch as well, because it's like the foam is Taylor and the rest of the drink is Joe.
And they're stitched together?
They're like stitched together, exactly. And when you drink it, it all blends as one. And it's a really love blackout type of deliciousness happening on your palate. But just the look of it, they look separated and they're just stitched together. So
this is called the, I think it, there's been a snitch?
I guess I can. I mean, that we don't really have this copyrighted at my work, so I could just steal the name snitch. But yeah, it's good. It's delish. So cheers, Rachel.
Cheers.
I think there's been a snitch.
Love it.
Oh yeah.
Let's get into Glitch.
Let's get into it. Okay, so we're gonna break down the spirit of the song, which is the energy, the vibe, the message. We're gonna get into the musical mixology, the sounds that we're hearing. Then we're gonna break down Taylor Swift with a twist, all of the lyrics of the song. And there are some lyrics in this song that are pretty mind-blowing. Leave it to no other than Taylor Swift to write us a mind-blowing lyric. So starting with the spirit of the song. Essentially, this song is about developing a romantic relationship with somebody that circumstances wasn't ever going to make that happen, right? So but she's using this like concept of Glitch being like the landscape of this relationship or this love is on this like technology driven plane. It's sort of like a metaphorical concept is this technology landscape that she uses to describe the landscape of that relationship. The glitch part just being the malfunction, essentially, where they went from just friends to lovers. Lovers. So, yeah, that's the spirit I'm bringing to the table, unless you have other things you want to add to it, Rach.
Well, another thing I think we can talk about with this is how post Joe and Taylor breakup, we've hinted at the thought that, like, Midnights was a breakup album. Now, were they still together while she was writing this? I still think they were. I think this was, like, the edge and the energy of the breakup that she was just, like, exploring. They were maybe in an off and on situation. It was delicate, as it was in the beginning. And so
I saw somebody really leave a comment saying that Glitch is Delicate's sister song, which I don't know necessarily if they're brother sisters, but kind of similar.
It certainly falls along in the same like storyline as Delicate, as Dress, as Gorgeous,
King of My Heart,
Cruel Summer. Like these are all these like she does a lot of like the beginning of the relationship was really fascinating, and we'll kind of maybe hint at some of that as we go through this song. But the thing that I'm thinking about is like, so if the song is about a glitch that, like, we shouldn't have been together, if we had followed, like, as it should be, as the system had designed it to be, we wouldn't have been together. But there was a glitch in the system, and somehow we got together, everything blacked out, and we stayed. It stayed for 2,190 days or whatever that number is. But a glitch can be fixed. And I, now knowing that they did break up and curious if she was wondering if they would break up, if that's something she was thinking about without ever saying. Like, there was a glitch. It was a long glitch. And
but glitches, just call the IT department and they'll fix it up for you.
It took a long, it was a long time to get that IT guy there. But maybe they fixed it. And that's why they're no longer together.
Mm-hmm. So it's all the IT's guy's fault that they
yeah, exactly. So I think this is a good time to transition into the musical mixology of it. I think what I was going to say is this is a very short song.
How long is it?
It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, which is very unusual for a Taylor Swift song. The music on here, as I hinted, is delicious to my ears. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot about it. I haven't even listened to Midnights in a while. I've been in other eras.
Sure.
And so getting back into this song was just a delicious delight. It was like dessert for my ears, like a delicious cocktail. And I'm obsessed with the sound of this song.
You say delicious, which makes me think of like a pastry or a cupcake. But I don't get cupcake vibes with this song. It's very...
I don't like cupcakes or pastries.
Okay, you like a dangerous cocktail that's delicious. And this song feels a little dangerous. There is some unpredicted sounds that come through with like the muffly warped sounds that we get with the clicking drum track that we get.
We were supposed to be just friends.
It's a very unique sound altogether. It has a really low, deep bass to it. There's some falsetto happening. It's a very all over the place song in its sound, but it is very intriguing, and I dig it. It's a hard one to like dance to, but like swaying to me, it's like, you can definitely move to it. But
yes, this is a slow dance, sexy, moody nighttime song. This is giving false god.
Yes,
this is giving, which then connects me. Like I hear Sadie or Sade, which was something that we referenced when we did our false god episode. Another artist that just has this like sultry, smooth, like with a little bit of like you said, like this like. Ooh, what's happening in the background? We should note that this sound is coming from the music hall combination of Sam Du, Jack Antonoff, and Soundwave, which, Sam, this is going to be another of my new shit. They're all in a group called Red Hearse, which I don't think I don't think I knew this. Do they also do Lavender Haze? Are these the same people that did Lavender Haze?
I don't have that answer readily available, but I'm happy to do a quick googs of it.
Well, either way, it's very similar to Lavender Haze sound, and I don't know if you've listened to any Red Hearse, but I was really into that sound, which was making me think like it's very similar vibes. That's kind of like the really interesting sound layers. Honestly, I kind of wish we would have gotten an entire album of this kind of just like interesting
music. Midnights has a lot of tracks with this type of sound to it, but it's not the whole album because then you get like Bejeweled and Karma and
Karma
in the
and
there.
Sweet Nothings.
Yeah. But the sound, the glitch definitely belongs on Midnights over any other album. Maybe Reputation, but Midnight's for sure. So, and it just sounds a little bit like, again, I keep bringing up this concept of technology, which is a theme that we get in the song, but the sound does sound technologically a little bit robot-ish, and that's a fun connection to make with the whole theme of the song. So, but I would love to get into these lyrics, Rach, because
I'm ready.
There's some interesting stuff. So she starts off by singing, "We were supposed to be just friends." You don't live in my part. Whenever I hear her singing this song, I can't sing along to this part.
No, it's
jumbled up.
It's tricky.
We get that a lot.
To sing along with it.
It's tricky. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to be just friends. You don't live in my part of town, but maybe I'll see you out some weekend. Depending on what kind of mood and situationship I'm in. I'm just going to go through the whole verse here. What's in my system? So, she's telling us that this started off as... And what we know that she's sung about in other songs is she did not expect to... fall for Joe Alwyn, aka the song subject. Now, did Joe live in New York City, or
he lived on the he had a, he had an apartment on the East Side.
and she's on the west side. So yeah,
not
her part of town. She's playing this so cool. Like, maybe I'll see you some weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like that she talks about town like this is New York City. Like, I just love it when she brings in New York City mm-hmm. to her music mm-hmm. and like makes it part of the story, another character in the story. Connecting it right back to all those other songs that we already talked about, like the beginning parts of their relationship. I really like that word situationship. I know this is kind of like a trendy word,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it
yeah.
just like so encapsulates just like how it can be complicated. Like, mm-hmm. and her, I mean, it was complicated for her. Like, there were lots of things happening.
Well, and so, but she's not referencing a specific situationship that she was in.
Right.
She's saying, depending on what situationship I might be in, depending on what kind of mood I'm in, maybe I'll see you out. Like, she's not...
Depending on how drunk I am.
Yes, like, maybe. Like, yeah, maybe. She does say what's in my system, as in, like, yeah, how much I've been drinking or what kind of intoxicated
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, just like, whatever.
But...
This is casual. We're going to keep it casual.
But we get this talk of system later, as in, like, the... You said it, where, it, like, the system that was designed to... prevent them or the trajectory of her life, the trajectory of his life, that's the system. The whole situationship thing is Taylor loves to throw in lyrics that are trendy. I always think of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Was when that song came out, that was a common phrase that was being used.
Or Hits Different.
Hits Different is a great example as well.
Totally, yeah. Like a current phrase.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically this whole first verse, she's like describing, like, it sort of is giving me King of My Heart, where I'm perfectly fine, I live in my own, I'm better off being alone, whatever the lyric is. But that's a very,
I think those are the exact lyrics.
Yes, thank you. It's a similar energy to that. She's just like, I'm not trying to engage with you. Maybe I'll see you. It just kind of depends on what's going on in my life. So that's the whole first verse. It's a short verse. I mean, it time-wise, like you said, like it goes pretty quick. Yeah. And then we get the first chorus. I think there's been a glitch. And her voice, like the way that she sings the word glitch, it catches you off guard a little bit. Glitch. She just sort of like brings it up high. Oh, yeah.
Well... At first, she doesn't go up high into her register. It's just like, she's not as high. She gets higher later. A little bit more like, higher in her register the next time she sings it.
Mm-hmm.
But this, and it's interesting how this contrasts, like a glitch contrasts the entire mastermind concept that she sings about earlier in the Midnight's album. And... we haven't discussed that. Is that a parody for what people think that how she lives her life? Either way, I think this was maybe like her realizing like she does try to plan it all and find the perfect guy and make it like mm-hmm. she has mm-hmm. her perfect fantasy in her mind. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
She has planned it all out and this wasn't it. Like this took her by surprise.
Yeah, that's why she's writing a song about it, because it has inspired her to tell a story about how the mastermind didn't quite see this coming. There's been a glitch. The glitch in the system.
Yeah. The next line, 5 seconds later, I'm fastening myself to you with a stitch, which is just like the alliteration of that stitch and glitch. Like, it's just, it's so delightful.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. Okay. But so yes, she's like, I'm all in. Like, I'm attached to you. I did not expect this. But I had another thought. Like, when I think of a stitch, I'm picturing like a simple slip stitch that can easily rip out. Like this is not like we are now absorbed into each other. This is something that I'm stitched to you until I cut those threads.
Yeah, and it's
until that invisible string is cut.
Oh, wow. It's also, she's just It's a stitch. That's just one stitch. So that's
a stitch.
Not reinforced. It's not super strong. So that kind of feeds into your theory that this song was written to describe how they unplannedly got together. But
I really like the word unplannedly.
I don't know if I made that up or what,
but you did. But it's great. It's
but that also that it is going to fall apart too. Like, and when we first heard the song, we didn't know that it was going to fall apart.
No, we did not.
But
we did not.
I think that she
and maybe she didn't either when she wrote it.
Maybe.
But I still wonder if she was just curious.
Yeah.
I'm not even sorry. Nights are so starry, blood moonlit. So, like, first of all, she was making some questionable decisions in 2016 when they came, got together. Like, Cruel Summer kind of expresses that, like, where she would, like, it was a little bit chaotic.
Hmm.
And also she's like, whatevs. Like, I'm not sorry about that because look what I have now. I like this, like, nights are so star. Like, it's just like, nights are just so lovely. But the word blood moonlit.
This is my first question. I don't know how to interpret the deeper meaning. And I gotta assume there's a deeper meaning with blood moonlit. Why those word choice?
So I did some research into Blood Moon. And there's a lot of interesting, almost different, like, competing ideas. So in astrology, a blood moon brings chaos, disruption, and change.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Uh-huh. So blood moon just represents, like, I think I've heard it described as, like, the end of something and the beginning of something else, right?
Got it.
And so that's a bit of a positive look to it. But in the native cultures and, like, the Incans, they saw blood moon as a bad omen.
Mm.
And there's even a story, which is just so, like, amazing, that Christopher Columbus, the jerk that he is,
oh gosh,
you know, was coming in and, like, his men are starving and he's killing off all the Indians and they're not sharing their food because they're mad at him because he's an asshole.
Oh, they didn't share their food with me at the birthday party.
So what did he do? Well, he's really smart. He knew about this concept about a blood moon, that it's just like, he understood it's a solar eclipse, that like the moon, like the moon reflects the color, something like that.
Yeah.
And so he knew about this, but he didn't think that the native people knew. And so he said, if you don't share food, the moon is going to turn red and that's going to mean bad things are going to happen to you. And so they shared food because they saw the blood moon. They're like, oh, crap, bad things are going to happen. So they shared the food.
Okay. So that's the blood moonlit story.
So all that to say, a blood moon can mean like things are changing, but it can also mean, but maybe this isn't in the end going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a sign.
Mm-hmm. And then we famously have a Midnight's vinyl special edition, Blood Moon edition, right?
Delightful.
Yeah. Now that, so thank you for kind of clarifying that.
Sure.
It must be counterfeit. Okay. It must be counterfeit. It meaning the fact that they're falling for each other? Is that what she's saying?
The relationship working must be fake.
It must
be fake. Like, this is working. It must be fake. Like, it can't. If this is too good, it's too. Nights are so start. Like, it must be counterfeit because, like, how is this happening?
She seems very contradicting a lot in this song because we just have her saying, well, she starts off by saying, like, we're just friends. I didn't think of you as anything else. And then she goes, I'm not even sorry. The nights are so starry. But then the blood moon is in there giving, like, chaotic vibes. And now she's singing it must be fake. Is she just, like, going through all of the confusing emotions? Is that what we're getting here?
I think so. I think, honestly, I swear Taylor probably did this her entire relationship. Like, so many of the songs with Joe are this, like, emotional roller coaster. And maybe that's just how she experiences love, and maybe that's how all of us experience love, for that matter. It's that it's not this, like, perfect, beautiful trajectory of love, that it does go back and forth, and you do doubt and question. Moving on, verse 2. again, she's going back in this verse to talk about, like, this is what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to sweat you out. I'm getting fever dream high.
Oh.
Like, I was supposed to just, like, break that fever and move on.
Mm-hmm. Get you out of my system.
Uh-huh. In search of glorious happenings of happenstance on someone else's playground. Okay. That is not only the title of a great cocktail, but that is, again, a delicious collection of words.
Should we collectively mic drop our microphones after saying that? Because Taylor needs to, she's not performed this song live yet. Did she do this as a surprise song? Wait, did she? I don't think so.
I don't think
so. But when she does, she absolutely needs to drop her microphone after In Search of Glorious Happenings of Happenstance on Someone Else's Playground. What?
Ground.
This is another tricky one to sort of break down. I get the impression you've got some thoughts.
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, do other girls touch you like I do? Okay, that's what's happening here. She's like, you are someone else's playground. You are a glorious happenings of happenstance that belongs to somebody else that I could just play in. I could have fun with you. I could have a little drinks. I could meet you on the in a dive bar and have a little drink. But then I'm gonna see a color blue I've never seen before.
Mm.
And now I'm stitched to you. So, like, I think this is what she was saying. Like, you were just like, you were out of my league. You were somebody else's. You probably have a million girls all over you.
I thought it meant that she's in search of glorious happenings of happenstance on someone else's playground. As in, she was seeking other people out. Someone else's playground. She was, like, trying to find the random glorious happenings in a different circle of people.
Okay. I like that, too. Perhaps. I like that, too. That makes
Either sense. Way, it is a jumbled word mess that she executes so deliciously.
So delicious.
Can we sing along to that? In search of glorious happenings of happenstance on someone else's playground. I feel like I missed a beat or two. I don't know how she does it.
I don't know.
That'll be an interesting one if and when she does it as a surprise song, if she can pull it off without breaking character. Breaking down. Speaking of.
It's been 2,190 days of our love blackout. Okay.
Raise your hand if you had to use your calculator when you first heard this song. And when you realized it was 6 years, you put it all together and realized that was
This falls right into our, like, doing all the math. For the, like, yes. 13, the clocks, the 112 or whatever.
It's unfortunate that 2 plus 1 plus 9 plus 0 doesn't equal 13.
It's really unfortunate.
That would be for her. Crazy.
And actually, technically, like, if it was 6 years exactly, it would be 2,191.5, which does add up
to 13. So, okay, so 2,190 isn't exactly times 3.
Because there's a leap, because we forgot a leap year. There was a leap year day in there.
So let's see. So 365.
So somewhere in the 6 years, there was an extra day. So technically, there was 2,191.
366. You're right. Exactly 6 years is 2,191.
But it doesn't flow quite as easily to say it's been 2,100.
90 days of our love. Blah,
she would need to, like, drop the and be like 2,191 days of our love blackout.
But it's been 2,191 days of our love blackout. She could have made it
she
work.
She could do it. She didn't. She didn't. It's interesting she didn't.
There's got to be a reason. Okay, love blackout is fun because the blackout, I think, is going back to this theme of the computer system glitching out, the blackout, as in, like, when she, but, like, the love blackout, like, for her, loving him was red. It was black.
No, loving him was not red.
But it's sort of implying that, like, everything else around their love, or like when she was in the love with him, it was like a deep, dark blackout, which kind of fits in with the Reputation vibe of it all.
Well, yeah. But she, like, kept it private. She kept their whole relationship.
Yes, yes. Private.
She blacked it out, like literally blacked out her social media accounts.
True.
Like, turned the lights off on their relationship. Like, we are not going to talk.
But it's also implying, like, the computer's blacked out because the glitch. I mean, it just, like, threw. It was like putting a magnet up to the monitor, and it totally threw off all the magnetic colors of that screen. I did that in fifth grade. I ruined the school computer because I put a magnet on the screen. I didn't know. But now we know you're not supposed to do
that.
I didn't know that.
I don't think I knew that. Well, oh, yeah. And now, see, this is what's beautiful. Like, the screen has been fixed because I feel like Taylor is more alive and in color in front of our eyes than she has been in years.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's, like, literally out there in the world for us to see. She's been on this Eras tour for the first time. Like, I know she was in the Reputation era, but that, like, with him. But, like, I feel like we're really getting, like, a colorful Taylor era. And I think the system has been fixed. I think the blackout, the glitch, was fixed.
Yeah. So you're saying because she broke up with Joe that now she's in her colorful era. So yeah, the Joe era was a blackout, and there was some good, there was some bad to that, but it was very much a blackout. And now that she's out of that, we're getting all of the spectrum colors. It's almost like Lover era, but less bubblegum and more earth tones, hence my brown shirt. We are going off a deep dive here. The system's so breaking down. The system's breaking down.
This is when she goes, I think there's been a glitch. It's like higher. It's not that high. But like it's falsetto versus like, I think there's been a glitch.
Yeah.
And so
you're right.
It's just like she's really like leans into that, which is so, I need another word for delicious, but I'm just like, my ears are loving the sound. It's scrumptious. Just so great. Diddly-umptious. Mm-hmm. We're getting a bridge next.
This is not a banging bridge. It's not the type of bridge that you can just, like, cry to. It's a very subdued
bridge. Yeah, and it's almost like, and the, getting, the, like, she's, like, I need to tell you something. Like
coming, like, closer.
Coming closer. Like, a brief interruption, a slight malfunction. I go back to wanting dudes who give nothing. I'm not doing the right sound because I don't know all the, like...
The sound kind of drops in this bridge, which is important for what we get after the bridge. Mm-hmm. A brief interruption, a slight malfunction. I'd go back to wanting dudes who give nothing. I like that because she's calling out the fact that she's been with these dudes who give nothing. Okay, but when they broke up and we got the song You're Losing Me, she's made it pretty clear that Joe wasn't giving anything. But at the time, this early, maybe he really was. And what do you know? She ended up with another dud who gave nothing.
Was he giving nothing the entire relationship?
No. And that's why she...
Just towards the end.
Ended, like, why she was into him. And that's why it worked out for as long as it did. But towards the end, he wasn't giving her anything.
I was specifically thinking of Calvin Harris because he was kind of sort of close to this era. Like, you know, Tom Hiddleston would have been closer, but, like... Maybe Tom Hiddleston was a fake relationship and she cheated on Calvin for Tom. We don't really know. That's getaway car. We haven't gotten there yet.
But
it's also interesting, like, this is like one of those self-deprecating comments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's
self-aware, I think.
Self-aware. There you go. Mm-hmm. Self-aware of who she falls for. And maybe she's just like given up and she's just like, I'm just going to go back to like wanting these other dudes who are kind of crappy, and it's fine.
Well, and it's great that she's not saying I'd go back to ending up with guys who give nothing. It's wanting
wanting.
Like, she can't help but want these dudes that give her nothing. It's like she's got this bad taste in men, but, you know, I thought we had...
Owl City.
Yes. Al from Owl City. Joe Jonas. Matt Keeley. We all love Harry Styles. We all love Taylor Lautner. Okay, let's talk about this last line of the bridge, though. And that's romance. Let's dance. Is that like her? Is that like saying, well, that's showbiz, baby? Or what? This is another line that confuses
That's
me.
Romance. I wish you would have done.
I'm glad that you did it for us. There were some jazz hands there, everybody.
There were some jazz hands. I've got a top hat, and that's romance. Let's dance. There was my... I've been waiting for my show choir moment. I did not know it was going to be in Glitch, but that was fantastic.
It did not happen in Bejeweled. You would have thought it would it have, but...
You really would have thought.
That's
There's
romance.
Still a chance maybe in me, but...
Ooh, can't wait for
All right.
One.
I thought we had no chance, and that's romance. Like, that's the full sentence. Let's dance. That's so funny. It's really, now I cannot think of it differently. Like, it really is very, it's giving musical show choir.
Come on, okay. My baby. Hello, my darling. That's romance. Let's dance. Maybe we'll get this in Taylor Swift's Broadway musical that we are certain will
I come out. I cannot wait. All right, I think there's been a glitch. We need to get back to the song. Okay. I think she's just like to it's, this is what it feels like. This is what romance to her is like. Like falling when she didn't expect to fall. It's not the mastermind theory. I think she's realizing like the real romance is like being surprised and letting it just happen instead of masterminding it.
I see. Okay. So it is sort of like saying that showbiz. Well, that's showbiz. That's romance. That's how it goes.
You sound kind of self like, well, that's just romance. But like, I think it's just more like, now that's romance. Like, romance is not expecting it and finding the perfect fantasy. Romance is falling when you didn't expect to fall.
Sure. Okay. I can get behind that reasoning.
So let's dance. And they danced.
Let's
and
dance is her just being like, blackout. Yes, there's a glitch. Yes, it's not supposed to happen this way. Screw it. Let's dance.
The system's breaking down. I know that that's like the system before, like it's, but it's interesting how it's like the system, it's not the system broke down.
No.
It's like the system is breaking down now.
Like it's happening in the moment, currently.
And I almost wonder if that's the hint at, like, the system is breaking down now. The system that became the glitch is now breaking down, and then it... I don't know.
Like, at the time when she wrote the song, that system is currently breaking down when the song is happening, or when she's writing this song, but not... Not 2,190 days ago. I mean, it's a double meaning, perhaps, right? Like, the system was breaking down then to glitch it out, to put them together. But now she's like, the system is that us together is also breaking down. A hint, another hint. That Midnight's was a breakup album, and we didn't know it.
Slight malfunction. I don't know.
Ever so slightly. Now, we're almost pretty much done with the song, but... My favorite part of the song is after the bridge, when you assume the song is just totally over because it just drops out sonically. There's no sound. And then in a beat that you don't quite anticipate, she comes at you really aggressively with glitch.
Glitch.
And we get the final part of the song. It's a blast.
Let's dance.
If you're not familiar, if you've never heard this song, it like is jolting. It's scary. It like comes into your ears when you're not expecting it, bringing you back into the whole breaking down system concept.
I read somewhere someone wrote this like pre-Eras tour. They were hoping that this would be on the Eras tour. And they were hoping, and I'm guessing this is a little bit like Dress and during the Reputation era. Did she turn off the lights for a second and then flash them back on?
Say my name
during
and
Dress?
Everything just stops. Just and then everything stops.
Say my name and everything just stops.
And then lights definitely had a play in that.
I think when the lights got, so someone was hoping that we would get that kind of a moment with Glitch.
Yeah.
That, like, at the end of the system's breaking down.
Oh, like the lights, like, fizzle
lights
out.
Off,
sparks
and then,
go. Like,
and then, boom, Glitch! Like, that would be so amazing.
That would
right?
be so cool. The Heroes Tour sucked. If only we had had that to redeem it.
Right.
Oh, she really messed that one up big.
Dang it.
But yeah, okay, so that's the, we get the glitch, and then she sings the chorus one last time, and then very subtly sings that last line, I think there's been a glitch. And we get this, like, soft fade out.
Wow, 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 wow.
You don't need to listen to the song if you've just heard us reenact it. We did a great job of that. So
sometimes we need to do, like, a compilation of all the times where Sam and Rachel try to, like, make the sound.
I'm still searching for an intern for if you want to be, like, our social media / show notes intern. You can go through all of our 40 episodes and compile the times that Rachel and Sam have glitched out.
Yes.
And post it on our social media, which you should follow, but I'm not about to plug it yet. We have to do the next week announcement first, Rachel. So
that's
get
right.
us into that, por favor.
All right, Sam, it seems like the system is breaking down as our podcast comes to a close, but I bet you're not even sorry because this is your favorite part of the podcast.
It sure
when
is.
I get to tell you what song we are discussing next week.
Yes, okay? Have you been thinking long and hard about this one, Rach?
I have been. So this week I was thinking about that word situationship. And we talked extensively, as is the entire, you know, at least world, I would say, about Taylor's current situationship.
Yeah.
And there is a song that really is, like, the perfect song to kind of, this is a song that has a line that makes me think that Taylor was a mastermind in this entire Travis Kelce.
I think I know where you're going.
You might know, because there's a line in the song where she says, I was 87 and you were 89.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going.
And just so you know, Travis Kelce's number is 87. And Taylor Swift was born in 1989.
Wow.
And
Okay. Uh-huh. The
connection between those two is one of the reasons why I think that girl has known the entire time, like, about this whole potential situationship. So the name of that song is called Mary's Song.
Oh, my, my,
and,
my.
Oh, my, my, my. We are going way back.
Way back.
We are going from the last album to the first album. We are going into a debut song, a really delightful song about a long, long love. A long love blackout story. And I am excited to discuss
that's
Mary's song.
That's such a sweet song, too. I've only listened to it a very small amount of times, 2, maybe 3.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to get into that song with you. I think I already know what cocktail I'm going to make. We shall see.
Okay. We shall see.
All right. Well, Swiggies, that wraps up our podcast. But this ending is just a brief interruption, a slight malfunction to your week, because you can always come find us doing glorious happenings of happenstance over on our social media playgrounds. in between episodes. Yes. So be sure to follow along at Swift and Swix Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. If you are listening to us on Spotify, be sure to follow and subscribe to our channel. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, rate and review us. Just give us some love. We love to hear from you. We have an email address. I'm going to start plugging this too. If you want to reach out to us and say hi, or if you want to be our social media intern.
It's me.
Hi.
I'm your social media intern. It's me.
That's a great way to introduce yourself. Our email is swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. So far, we only have 3 emails in the inbox, and they're all from Gmail. So let's...
Rude.
Let's...
populate that.
I want to hear from you guys. So, yeah. Thanks for tuning in to another fun episode.
It's great.
I'm so... I think it's... I can't believe I haven't been doing that this whole time.